Welcome to the Perry Johnson Registrars Podcast, where you can expect the latest news and discussions related to the management systems certification industry. Today's episode is a previously recorded webinar. If you would like to tune in to our upcoming webinars, visit our website at www.pjr.com/webinar or give us a follow on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for tuning in.
Okay, good morning, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to our presentation. This is the presentation, Your Ongoing Relationship with PJR. My name is Joe Krolikowski. I am the QMS Program Manager for PJR. Now, our topics for today, sorry, I jumped ahead there. We want to address just briefly how we view ourselves as your partner in this certification process. And accordingly, we've kind of broken this presentation down into three main pieces. We're going to go over changes and how those are addressed as part of your certification. Obviously, there's always a potential for change as time goes by. We're going to go over what the industry refers to as short notice audits. And we're going to wrap up with a discussion on the dispute process. So as I said, we do view ourselves as a partner in your certification. We value all of our clients, big and small. And we want you to take advantage of the resources that we have. You know, if you're facing challenges, if you're growing, if there's things that are challenging your certification, we want you to use the resources that we have to get the most out of your certification. It's an expensive product, and accordingly, we want you to get as much out of it as you can. Now, as I said, change is inevitable. You know, the expression goes, the only constant is change. And in certification, changes are going to kind of fall into one of two camps. Either the change is going to be of minimal impact and it'll mean nothing, or it may have a noted impact on your business and on your future. And when it impacts your certification, we need to be informed about it so that we can take the appropriate response actions. Now, when you signed up with Perry Johnson, or when you do sign up with Perry Johnson, we have a rather lengthy document that we use that is all of our official terms and conditions. Now, that document is called the F3, Form 3. Now, F3 has a provision that reads as follows. It is incumbent upon the organization to notify PJR in writing and in a timely fashion of material changes. Now, that verbiage is drawn from a section of ISO 17021-1. Now, 17021-1, you can kind of think of that as ISO 9001 for certification bodies. It's all of the various bylaws that PJR has to abide by. So this business of material changes is mentioned in 17021 itself. If you keep reading in the F3, the PJR Form 3, it provides a fairly complete list of what constitutes a material change. We're going to unpack that now in our presentation. Firstly, there are material changes of a legal nature. Now, these are going to include things like the ownership of the organization, the legal status of the organization. So if you're transitioning from an LLC to a corporation or vice versa, or from either of those back to private ownership. Now, changes of that nature may or may not have an impact on the certification, but it is a material change, and it is something that we need to be, excuse me, informed of. The second major category of change are going to be operational changes. So this is going to include things like changes in your scope, This is what actually appears on your certificate. Changes in your management system, changes in key managerial positions, changes in the headcount. Now, these types of changes, most of the time, are going to have some impact on your certification. The last major category of change are the physical changes. Now, this is going to include your address. You know, obviously, if you move into a new building, that is a significant change. Also, if you are still at your existing facility, but there's been some significant damage to it. Maybe you've been unlucky enough to have a fire or a natural disaster such as a flood. Most of the time, these changes are going to have, obviously, some impact on your certification. So when we are notified of a material change, we are required under ISO 17021 to take action as appropriate. Now, what that action is going to be and when it's going to take place, well, it's dependent on what the change is and on the impact to the certificate that's been issued, if there is a certificate. Now, we may judge some changes as having little to no impact at all, and we may conclude that we don't really have to do anything. Now, in a lot of cases, material changes are going to require that a contractual amendment be drawn up to capture what's changed and document its mutual approval, both by us and by you. Now, ideally, if this is something that's going to require assessment by an auditor, we're going to time our assessment to the normal auditing cycles. In other words, if we get a call and you indicate, okay, you're scheduled to be in here in 8 weeks, we've just had a buyout, we have some new owners. So that lines up perfectly. We can assess that change as part of the next regularly scheduled audit. But unfortunately, it doesn't always work out that way. Now, in those instances, we have to do what the industry refers to as a short notice audit. Now, this is something else that comes from ISO 17021-1, this time it's section 9642. And this is also listed in our F3 in the contractual terms and conditions, making it a binding part of your contract. Now, we don't actually refer to these audits as short notice audits. We have a couple of different terms that we use. We have what we call a scope expansion. Now, this is typically used in one of two situations. Either you're adding a new building, a new site to your certification, and it may also be used in situations where your scope is expanding. If you're adding a new product line, a new particular process that you want listed on the certificate, etc. We also have what we call on-site assessments, or OA. Now, that's intended to be kind of a catch-all term for any short notice audit that isn't technically a scope expansion. Now, as you get into some of the other scopes that we certify, there's other terminology. The ITF, of course, has what are called special audits, and those fall under the ITF Rules 5th Edition requirements. In AS 9100 and 9110 and 9120, they have what they call special audits for aerospace. But in these instances, the 17021-1 requirements are still applicable. Now, regardless of what they're called, the short notice audit is going to follow the same steps as a regularly sequenced audit. So that means you're going to get an audit plan. There's going to be an opening and a closing meeting. There's going to be interviews done. There's going to be review of documentation. The only difference is, the big difference is, I should say, is that it is going to be a targeted sampling of the change itself. So let's take, for example, a site relocation. If you've moved up the street or if you've moved across the country, here are some of the things that are going to likely be sampled. We're going to expect to see that you've addressed the relocation within management review, that you've done an internal audit at the new facility, that you've updated your documentation, that you've made your clients aware that you've relocated, that you've updated your advertising, if you've had to move production equipment, have you done proper setup and maintenance on the production equipment? And has this impacted your scope? Maybe you're not doing the same thing exactly that you were in the prior location. In the case of an ownership change, the list of things we're going to look at is a little bit shorter. We're going to look at, have there been any changes in upper management? Sometimes when there's a buyout, some of the top management folks move on, or they're no longer there, or their roles change. Has this had an impact on your process or process controls? Have your customers been informed? Were there any issues with that? And again, did this impact the scope of your operations? In the case of new products or processes, again, we're going to look at management review and internal audit. We're going to look at documentation. Again, we're going to look at equipment setup and maintenance if there's any new equipment. And in particular, we're going to look carefully at training for anybody that is new to the organization or existing people that are responsible for these new processes. So these are some examples of how the short notice audit might be carried out. Now, it's always possible that there will be a nonconformance during a short notice audit. Now, any nonconformances that are issued in a short notice audit are subject to the same expectations for timing and response that are applied to regularly scheduled audits. Your certification is always kept in good standing as long as we are working through the process together. Now, if the material change is going to require an update to your certificate, your auditor is going to be required to prepare a certificate application reflecting the intended adjustments. You should expect your auditor to discuss that certificate application with you and ensure that you agree with what was prepared. Our standard process for review and approval of audit packages is adhered to for short notice audits. And wherever possible, we do endeavor to respond quickly to any emergency requests for expedited certificate issuance or revision. Transitioning now to our dispute process. We are, as I'm sure you'll understand, we're very proud of our history of satisfied clients. We currently have, believe it or not, a little over 6,000 active certifications all over the world. We've got certifications in far-flung places like Brazil and Germany and Japan and Thailand, lots of other places. Now, with so many audits going on every year, believe it or not, we actually have fewer than 20 disputes a year on average. So let's go ahead and explore this part of the certification process. Now, the term dispute does not have an official definition within ISO 17021 or even 19011. Now, the term appeal is used in Section 9.7 of 17021, but it doesn't have an official definition either. These items are generally understood as an officially filed disagreement on the part of the auditee to one or more of the conclusions that were reached in the audit process. Typically, this is going to be one or more of the nonconformances that were issued. Now, the dispute is going to typically be filed for one of two situations. Either the auditor and auditee don't agree on the merits of the evidence, or there's agreement on the evidence, but there is disagreement on the criteria on which it was based. In other words, you're not agreeing that that is a correct interpretation of, say, ISO 9001. Now, before a dispute is filed, we have trained our auditors to be forthright in sharing suspected nonconformances, pretty much from the minute they're discovered. And the reason for that, there's a lot of reasons for that, but number one, we want to give the auditee a chance to present all available evidence while the audit is still being done. In that way, the auditor can make as informed a decision as possible. We also tell our auditors that if you've seen all of the available evidence and the nonconformance is still not acceptable to all parties, in other words, there's disagreement, document the nonconformance and move on. It's tempting to argue the point kind of in the heat of the moment, but understand that time that is spent arguing the merits of a nonconformance is time detracted from the auditing process. And potentially it's going to impact the auditor's ability to meet the audit objectives, and it may mean additional audit time and additional expense. So if the auditor has seen everything that you have to present and still feels there's a nonconformance, let them write it and let us follow our dispute process. Now, the dispute process that we follow is outlined in PGR Procedure Pro 10. It's called Dispute Procedure. And Pro 10 is available for download anytime on our website. If you go to pgr.com, go to the bottom of the page, you'll find a link titled Registration Document Download. Pro 10 is one of the items available for download from our website. Now, your process begins by reaching out to PJR, typically to your scheduler, advising that you want to file a dispute, and you will be sent a document called F217. Now, bear in mind, the dispute request has to be received within 15 calendar days of the end of your audit. So if you're going to file the dispute, you need to do so relatively quickly after the audit is concluded. Now, at the very top of the F217, you will fill in some basic information, your name, who the auditor was, the date of your request, etc. And then you will fill in what's called the resolution request. And there's four things you're going to be capturing here. You're going to capture what was the nonconformance number. We tell our auditors they have to number their nonconformances. What was the finding itself? And this can be copied directly out of the nonconformance that was issued by the auditor. Section 3 is the most important. This is where you're going to be justifying why you are disputing the nonconformance, whether it's based on the evidence or your interpretation of the standard or whatever the relevant points may be. Also, any attachments that you're providing, you need to explain to us what you're sharing, whether that's procedural content or pictures from your shop floor or whatever the relevant evidence happens to be. Now, once we've received all of your necessary paperwork, we will schedule a dispute hearing for you. Now, that hearing is led by our dispute chairperson, and it will include somebody from your organization, the auditor, that wrote the nonconformance, and the dispute panel. This will be three lead assessors from the relevant scheme, whether it's ISO 9001, 14001, what have you. Each side is given time to present their side of the situation, and the dispute panel may have questions, obviously, for both auditee and for auditor. Now, once the dispute hearing is concluded, the dispute panel meets privately, and they render their final decision. The decision is considered final and binding, and you will receive a copy of all completed dispute decisions. Now, the outcomes are going to fall into one of three camps. It's possible that the disputed nonconformance is upheld. In that case, the dispute panel has rejected your argument, and you have to respond to the nonconformance in the prescribed fashion. In other words, formulate a root cause, a corrective action, what have you. It's also possible that the nonconformance is overturned. In that case, we've accepted your argument, and we've instructed the auditor to strike the nonconformance from the record of the audit. In that instance, you should expect to receive an updated audit report. A third and less common outcome is the nonconformance is upheld but reduced. This is a situation where the nonconformance is legitimate, but a portion of it may need to be removed. This can also refer to a situation where a major is being reduced to a minor nonconformance. And obviously, in this instance, you should expect to receive an updated audit report. We want all of our clients to think of us as a trusted partner in the certification process, not just on audit day, but beyond audit day. We do hope you will keep us in the loop when things come up and use our resources to your benefit. I'd like to invite you to tune in for one of our other webinars. We have a relatively new webinar on Pro 3 and bylaws governing promotion of your certification. If any of you have tried to advertise that you're certified on your website or what have you, you know that it's kind of tricky and there's a lot of bylaws involved. So we do have a whole special presentation on just that topic. We also have a very popular presentation on the interaction of processes and its importance to a successful audit. We do that one twice a year. It's always well attended. We have webinars on a variety of other topics, stage one auditing, ITF 16949, et cetera. If you'd like to be kept informed of the latest news automatically, the best way for you to do that is to visit our website at www.pgr.com. Go to the bottom of the page, input your email address, and click subscribe. You will be opted in for automatic updates on upcoming webinars, changes to the standard, and other points of information. I do thank you for your time. I'm going to go ahead and unlock the question portion of the dashboard and see if any of our attendees have questions today. Okay, well, I'll wish everyone a great holiday season. Thank you all for your time.